Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 25 years.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm. We are an independent midlist publisher based in Portland, Oregon. We have 14 employees, over 650 titles in print with 20 to 40 new books per year, and we distribute thousands of titles from other publishers.
We started this podcast so that we can share what we've learned with newer publishers so that you can learn from our mistakes.
Or maybe you just want to understand the publishing industry.
This week, we are going to talk about the art of experimentation.
Try something. Throw it at the wall.
Mm-hmm. See what sticks. There was a great book I bought at a thrift store in the 90s called, I think it was literally called, like, The Art and Science of Advertising. And the entire premise of the book is that you should fail 3 out of 4 times because it means you're experimenting. And that if you are not failing 3 out of 4 times, then you are terrible as an advertiser. And I was like, who has money for that?
That does remind me of, like, Microcosm's early experiments in actual advertising, which have not all been successful experiments. Like, remember when you used to run those back page ads on the Willamette Week? For books and zines.
Well, it was to come into our bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Did it work?
Yeah, people would come in and but the interesting thing, I mean, people clearly saw them because people would come in all the time and be like, loved the ad this week. It was hilarious.
But you did make them really clever.
But it wasn't, you know, I mean, I think for retail, a bigger factor is location than the content of your back page ad. And, you know, just saying the phrase content of your back page ad suggests maybe with the people we were advertising next to.
Yeah, which, who would be our ideal customers, I would think, but maybe mm-hmm. they weren't the ones reading the ads.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the problem in that era came down to the fact that, like, we were between a public administration building for the city and a tool shop.
Tell me about more failed experiments. Okay, the location of that location was a failed experiment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just did. But, you know, and so in the very beginning, I guess, yeah, we did experimentation pretty well early on. So, like, the part when you're starting anything out is you want to try a whole bunch of things to see what people respond to positively. And then, you know, like we talked about with the Houghton Mifflin HarperCollins acquisition, some of those things, like, they work out, but then you're like, ooh, this is one too many things. This is, like, taking me outside of my core competencies. It's taking me out of my comfort zone. I have to, like, learn all this stuff, you know, and then you have to kind of shed those things, even if they are successful, but they have value, you know? So, you know, when we started out as a cash flow management operation, I did printing in my basement. And, you know, so you could, like,
big t-shirt printing?
Oh, all kinds.
All kinds of printing.
Yeah, I printed, you know, you could get your posters, you could get stickers, you could get buttons, you could get patches, you could get t-shirts. And, you know, and that was fun, because that was more of an extension of, like, oh, somebody ordered a t-shirt, I have to go print a t-shirt anyway. And then it would be like, oh, somebody ordered 100 t-shirts, I have to go print 100 t-shirts. And, you know, it can be a nice little breakup of the routine of just, like, sitting at the computer and being like, well, yep, there's another email. Well, and, or, you know, more likely in your first year, I wish somebody was emailing me right now.
But somehow things evolved and we no longer do our own printing. I guess we make our own buttons.
Yeah, but we don't do the, I mean, the thing that ended that, I mean, well, like, part of it was that, you know, as we became more successful as a book publisher, you get these orders, and most of the people that would come to, like, a company like us are very big fish in very small ponds. So they're like, I need it this weekend. And you're like, I've got books to ship. You know, it's like, I don't have time, or, like, I am not in this to make the stickers for your event this weekend. You know, like, this is not motivating to me.
So the problem was, when that did become successful, that took away from your core interest.
Yeah. And so, like, what we probably should have done is, like, sold that operation to somebody else. Mm. Because there was clearly, like, interest, need, demand for it. And part of that was just, like, how we did the, like, company identity is what people were responding to. And then when we did wind it down, it, like, really upset people because they really felt ownership of that. They felt like that was a cool aspect. They felt like that tied it together. I had one person that, like, found a dead page on our website and was like, it's still on your website. You have to do it.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh, but no, I don't. I can't. I'm sorry.
No.
And,
tell us about vegan belts.
And then, so, you know, but that was the kind of thing where if we did it today, we would probably just parcel that off and be like, this is its own entity now, and somebody else can do that.
Microcosm Sticker Enterprises.
And then similarly, I don't, you know, we used to get more of a hodgepodge of submissions. So we sold, you know, and this is the same era, maybe 2000, 2001. By this point, where we were still making stickers and buttons and posters and such, we would get people that were like, I melted this record to make a bowl. Will you sell these? And we were like, well, that's not really something we can ship or, you know, like, store or, like, you know, it just, like, sort of breaks all the systems. But we did get reusable menstrual pads, nice, which we did make and sell for quite a while. And actually, the person that made those is now I don't know if she wants her identity revealed, but she now is an author of a book that we sell. So, and then around the same time, I don't even remember how this began, somebody was like, I don't remember. I think they must have submitted their vegan belts, which were, like, made out of bicycle inner tubes. And then you can either make, you know, like, a plain belt with just, like, the belt hardware and, you know, the rivets and the buckle and, you know, all that. Or, you know, we would make studded belts. And, you know, and so we would sell those. And then within, I don't know, a couple dozen orders, you know, the person was like, you order a lot of belts. I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And so and then they're like, but I'll teach you how to do it, and then you can keep making these.
So they made the first mistake of not selling their successful company to someone else.
Yeah, I guess so. And then that, you know, and then similarly, like, I mean, should have been the biggest tell was that they were like, I don't want to do it. And I'm, like, a little more, I don't know, resilient than most people, so, and you might interpret that as stubborn. And so I was like, oh, that's fine, we'll just do that. That's not even a big deal.
That is the jovial way.
And then it's sort of the same problem as printing, where you're just like, you know, you have to get out the bag of, you know, pyramid studs, and you have to, like, get all your materials, and you have to go to the, you know, the hardware place and get more parts and all that, and, you know, you have to have, like, specialized tools and, you know, the kinds of hole punches that work for that kind of thing. And, you know, it just kind of, at the end of the day, takes you away from publishing and selling books, which apparently I cared a lot more about than putting pyramid studs through rubber.
We would love to hear about the things that you've tried, so write to us at podcast@microcosmpublishing.com.
And you can see how our current fiasco plays out, where we create software to sell to other publishers and simultaneously continue to publish books. So,
but we're doing that the smart way, where that we're spinning that off instead of just trying to add it on.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, but stay tuned in 175 years and you can see the end of that saga.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosmpublishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon, on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.